You probably noticed through the song, the hymns that I picked and so forth, that I just want to share some thoughts with you here today about our spiritual battle and the importance of warring a good warfare. And there's probably a varied understanding of that throughout a group like this. I prayed with a family from out of town yesterday, and I like to know where we're at. So after I committed the time to the Lord, I asked the question, do you folks put the whole armor of God on? And so often I get, but it's important. And so I do know that there's a lot of Christians that have been Christians a long time and have not even come to understand how very important it is to appropriate God's provisions for us for spiritual protection. But anyway, I'd just like to ask the Lord's direction, and I pray that something can be shared here today that help you in your ongoing life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the provision that you have made for us to walk in victory in even this very darkening day. Thank you for your provision for safety, for protection, and also to be able to minister to others about needs in their very own lives. So I give the time to you and ask direction by your Holy Spirit in sharing what needs to be shared. In Jesus' name, amen. I had mentioned last week a verse that seems very important to me in Psalm 103:7, where the word says that God, or he, made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And I think a prayer of mine is to be able to discern and understand God's ways and not just have to see what's happening. It made such a difference with Moses leading the people. They were up against the Red Sea, the enemy's coming, and they think everything's over. Moses had an understanding of God's ways, that he's working things that maybe wouldn't even really understand. And so one of the ways I think that I see throughout Scripture, and I'm sure you've experienced in your own life, is what we mentioned last week about Joseph in going through years and years of difficulties. A lot of it started with his half-brothers that were jealous of him, and they were angry at him, and they wanted to kill him, but they sold him, and he ends up a slave in Egypt, and then he's in prison, and then one day he becomes second in charge in Egypt. And sure enough, and as he had dreamed, his brothers came down, and they're in fear before this guy that's in charge here in Egypt. It's Joseph. He doesn't let them know it yet that it's him. He's speaking through interpreters, and what it does to him emotionally. But his word at the end, when Jacob died and they were so afraid that now he's gonna pay us back for what he did. And his words to them, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to save many people alive. That's one of the ways of God. He sometimes lets you as a believer go through hard things and turns everything around and brings blessing out of it. I guess last Sunday evening we were talking about that. The Israelites were out of Egypt now, and they are up against the Red Sea, and God puts in Pharaoh's heart, why are we let them go? Let's go bring them back. Let's go after them. And so it looked horrible to them. Now the sea's in front of us, the Egyptian army's behind us, and we're goners. And Moses said, stand still, see salvation of God. And of course, you know, he opened the Red Sea, they walked through on dry land, and the Egyptian army followed them in there. God took the wheels off their chariots, let the sea come back together. And those that had been taskmasters over them, they saw them dead on the seashore. God put away the threat of them that was would have been such an ongoing curse, knowing that that was always a threat to them. They meant it for evil. The Egyptian army meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And I suspect there's testimonies here about how God has done that in your life. And I just want to explain one of the things that God did that's very personal to me. And this goes back 48 years, and some of the people that have been around a while, you know the story, but I just briefly remind you a bit of it. When I showed up here some 50-some years ago, a troubled lady that had some spiritual difficulties showed up the same time. And on that particular morning, our morning service, in fact, we had a little bigger church, right? We had a choir over here, and we were singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And this troubled lady, we had a nursery upstairs. She went and took our six-month-old daughter, that's now going on 49, and while the lady was tending to her and changing her diaper, and took her, we don't know what she was going to do, whether she'd throw her over the balcony or take her out of here. And she just forced that lady to give her up to her. Well, it shut down our service. We're all up there. And it was a difficult service. I came back up to give the message, and I had struck with pains. I thought, I just could, Lord, help me. Anyway, it was not the kind of service that you want to happen. But I just want to tell you today that I am probably most grateful for that service of any service we've ever had. Because God used that to open my eyes to the reality of the spiritual battle. I became a Christian at almost 10 years old. I knew what the Bible says. I knew what Ephesians 6 says. Through my younger life, I never heard anybody tell me I should put the whole armor of God on. But that day, God did something for me that opened my eyes to the reality of the spiritual battle. You can read it, you can know it, but all of a sudden, it was reality to me. And from that point, God began to lead me to be involved in it, just in trying to help people be free from spiritual difficulties that come along their way. And so I just would want you to know that over all these years and what God has done is just to bring some people into my life that need liberty from what went on and how they got messed up in spiritual bondage. And so, as God seemed to prompt me, you need to say a little bit more about that one of these days. I'm not going to be around anymore, and I don't mean just in Hutchinson, but you know, we all die unless we have the rapture, and may the Lord come quickly. But there's some things that I think are essential for victory, and I just want to pass some of those on this morning. There's a couple of reasons that I think that's so important, and one is for your own spiritual freedom, victory, and liberty in your own life. And the other is that you're going to run into people along the way that need spiritual help. There's so many people do not realize the verse there in Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. But he goes on to say, our battle is with demonic forces. It seems flesh and blood, I understand that. you have struggles, family struggles, whatever, and people are involved. But the reality is, it's not flesh and blood. There is an agenda. If you're a Christian, there is an agenda behind you to just destroy your life, to foul up your life, to get you into the world, or to get you off away from walking in freedom in Christ. And so it's just, I feel it's very important to pass on some of the things that God has taught. In Genesis 3, that was the beginning of the battle, and you know the story. The serpent came to Eve, he beguiled her. God said, every tree, freely eat of it. One tree, it's off limits. In the day you eat of that tree, you'll die. And he is indicating you're going to die spiritually. He beguiled Adam and Eve, beguiled Eve, and then Adam also partake, and every one in Adam's race is born a sinner, because we died in Adam spiritually. But God had a plan. And you know the story, but he, first of all, he told the serpent that at that time was standing upright, I guess, some kind of beautiful creature. And he said, from now on, you're in the dust. You're going to smell dust. And that's why there's so many passages about treading on the work of the wicked one. But anyway, he said his plan was, the seed of woman is going to bruise your head. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And Satan hates women, because God used a woman to bring the Savior into the world to redeem us and to pray for our sin and to set us free and bring us into God's family. And anyway, not only that, but he also is going to use people that have Jesus in their life to have victory and authority over that wicked one. We gave ourselves up to him in Adam and Eve, but in Christ we can have liberty and freedom, and that's what I just want to remind us of today. Hebrews 2:14, that Jesus, speaking of him taking on flesh like us, that he through flesh, through death, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so we remember the sacrifice of our Savior this morning, and what that did for us, not only to pay sin's penalty, that if we accept Jesus Christ, that the penalty of spiritual death, we're free from that, but to give us not only a home in heaven, but that the Lord Jesus would come in the Spirit of God to live in us, and that we can walk in victory over the work of the wicked one. My brother Nathaniel read from Luke 10, and I just want to say a word about that, what I believe Jesus is indicating here. And then I just want to share a few practical things that I think need to be known in our walk spiritually. He sent the 70 out two by two to share the gospel. He said, heal diseases. He didn't say anything I see in that passage on up to verse 17 about you're gonna be in a big warfare. He did say, I'm going to send you as lambs among wolves. They came back. They are excited. In verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He gives them kind of a short course here spiritually. He didn't give it to them before they went out. He gave it to them when they came back. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And of course, that is what happened with Lucifer. He was created with beauty and light. And when he rebelled against God, all of that was given up. And so we know him as the wicked Satan. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to endue you with power. And there'll be some say, well, this is just for those with Jesus. I believe every born-again Christian has the Spirit of God in them. You have that authority to be able to use. It's not your power, it's God's power. Notwithstanding, in that rejoice not. Don't get carried away with that. And don't get too excited that you can have authority in a situation, but rather rejoice your names in heaven. So Jesus says there's a danger in the spiritual battle of getting over excited about it or something. It's just something that he has allowed that we can walk in victory. Rejoice that your home is in heaven and that's what you look forward to. And then what I would want to point out to you in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, and I take it that it's in relationship to the 70 coming back, it's relationship to what they were excited about. He says, Father, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And I'm taking that as those that can understand everything from an educated intellectual viewpoint. You've hid it from them and revealed them unto babes. Most translations said little children, those that are childlike. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And what I want to say on that is it's very easy for some either to reject this matter of the spiritual battle out of fear or out of just ignorance about it. I think it's so important to come to the place where you understand, as a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in me. Satan is against the Lord Jesus Christ, so he's against you. He's against your victory. He's against what God wants to do in your life. And so let me just share a few things that I think are very, very important. And the first I would say is a daily need of protection spiritually. Paul's words, and I put part of it at the bottom of the bulletin, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I've often thought, if I just stop there, okay, I'm supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How do I do that? His very next word is, put on the whole armor of God, because you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're wrestling with demonic attacks against you, schemes against you, that the enemy wants to destroy you. So I just, for many years now in the battle, I'd never face a day. I would never want to face a day without putting on the whole armor of God. And he makes it plain there, the pieces you put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, put on the belt of truth, the sandals of peace, and you take up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. So much needs to be said about that. But I believe in reality, when you verbalize that, when you affirm that, something happens. Another passage says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. In a way, you are appropriating Jesus Christ for your protection that day. And then the second that I would say is that comes in Psalm 91 has become such a blessing to us, to our family, is to, in Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 2 it says, I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I think, to affirm, Lord, I choose to be under your shadow today. There's a couple of verses later, under his wings, picturing the kind of protection that there is there. And you go through Psalm 91 and you see the wonderful promises that he gives of protection. So that's the first thing I would say, is I think it's so important to choose to appropriate God's provision. Some of you have seen, I did it really for my grandchildren. First of all, it's what I call the daily prayer. And essentially is, first of all, I choose to accept today whatever you, God, have for me, sight unseen. His ways are right. We may not choose his ways because it may walk through something difficult, but I choose that. I totally renounce and refuse all that comes out of the kingdom of darkness. And we put on the whole armor of God and put on those pieces. I just say a word about the shield of faith. He says, finally, above all, take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall quench every fiery dart of the wicked. You need to begin to understand and learn what fiery darts are. You might think they're your own thoughts. I'm such a loser. I will never make anything of myself. I can tell you, if you're a Christian and thoughts like that come from you, they're fiery darts, and you need to affirm the truth of God and lift the shield of faith. Quench those things. Don't let them burn away in your life. But in so we put on the whole armor of God. I choose to then further to abide in your secret place under your shadow, under your protection today. And I accept all the provisions that you have made for my protection today. And so that's one of the first things. I think the daily need of spiritual protection with an awareness. The second thing, an understanding of the battle. It's not always easy by faith to understand in a conflict. If you're in a conflict with somebody, that there is a demonic plan and purpose devised behind you. And just pray that God will open your eyes to the reality of that. It takes faith to understand that. But the truth is, in most all of conflicts, it's not flesh and blood. It comes out and you experience flesh and blood, but it's not flesh and blood. The third thing that I think is so important is to live in a clean place. And I guess I'd say, first of all, that God helped me see that some years ago. I check into a motel and you look and beautifully clean, but you only see the physical. You don't know what happened there last night. You don't know what happened there days ago in that room. And I tell you, wherever the enemy is at work, he takes ground there, and he will hold that ground. Not only for your home, but I just use a hotel as a demonstration. Go in that place and say, Lord, you know what this in here. I just choose to renounce every way that that's been defiled. And I claim this room and everything in it cleansed with your blood, Lord Jesus, and I ask you that it be consecrated for my dwelling here and my being here. It needs to be done at your home. It needs to be done if we go over to, for some reason, have to go to the emergency room. Cleanse that room with the blood of Christ. Where it really has become important to me is sometimes I have to go and do a funeral at a funeral home where there's been all kinds of different kinds of religious activities in there. I want to walk around in that room and cleanse it with the blood of Christ. I don't want any defilement. I had an experience early on in a wedding where I knew afterward it was dark and I couldn't hardly get my breath. So cleanse where you live. Cleanse your property. I think that's so important. The Lord brought to mind this morning also to be careful about what you bring into your home. Some of you remember Juanita Vincent. Lloyd and Juanita lived right over here, dear people. And I was with her one day, just half a block away here. And she said, my house is not warm anymore. It's cold. It doesn't feel right. And she said, I don't know what's going on. So we were standing on the porch there, and I just prayed, Lord, what is it? What is it that's troubling here? Her next words is, oh, I can't stand that wind chime. Somebody had given her some kind of a bamboo-type wind chime, and we burned the thing, and her home was back to a warm place. One of the things we need to be aware of, sometimes missionaries bring in things to churches that have demonic curses on them, and just be aware of what's in your home. God will help you if you have something there that doesn't really belong there. And I guess I would just say further, arm yourself, live in a clean place. Understand that when you are having difficulties, there is an agenda behind it. But I'd want to, in my own situation, I don't remember, Mary and I went home from that with our children and thanking the Lord that spared our little Lisa. But it's in the process of time I've come to see that was a most needed thing to happen in my life. And I have no doubt that the evil one intended it for evil, but God allowed it for good. And there will be those things in your life. The truth is, and I guess where I started last week is in Romans 8:28. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're his child, you want to follow him, you can know that all things are working together for good. What you're going through may not seem good and may not on the surface seem good, but God's going to do something with that to bring good out of it. And so you need to trust him. But my prayer and desire I just pass on to you is you don't have to fear the enemy, but we need to be wise and make use of God's protective care over us. He's made that provision, and he wants our, as Jesus said, keep your focus on your homes in heaven. Your name's written in heaven, but war, good warfare. Let me just say a word about Billy Bray. He kind of came to mind the other day. I read about him years ago. And Billy Bray was in the late 1700s and early 1800s. He was a godless coal miner, horrible language. And anyway, there was an accident. And somehow that, I don't know all the details how he came to Christ. He became known as God's happy man. He became a preacher of the gospel. Probably, I think he was uneducated, but the thing that I remember about reading about Billy Bray is that he obviously knew the spiritual battle, because one day as he was walking, there were some ruffians that knew about him, and they took their place in a hedge as he was walking by, and they said, "Hey, Billy, this is Satan, we're after you." Billy's response was this: "Praise God, I never knew you was so far away from me." And anyway, the battle is real. Arm yourself, walk in victory, and help those along the way that you know how to help them with their battle. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your provision in Scripture given to us, how to daily walk in overcoming power and victory in Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray, first of all, Lord, in the group here, the need to accept you, Lord Jesus, as Savior, and to be born into your family. But then we have the privilege to have your protective care as we walk through this darkening world. Thank you, Lord, for your provisions for us. And we just commit these thoughts for how you want to use them in each life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an insert in your bulletin. Trust you have it. I love this song by Charles Wesley, "And Can It Be," as we come to the Lord's table. Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? What an amazing thing. Our hymnal does not have it should be verse 4, but it's the middle one here, which has been the testimony of some of those that have had the joy of seeing the chains broken and freedom in their lives from what happened there. And I wanted to have that verse. Let's sing these three verses. Liz will then play as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.